Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Pastor Dusty White, and I'm here with my friend, Pastor Bob Thune of Cormdale Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about how Christian maturity is a journey and not a destination.
We're going to draw some insights from a sermon I preached recently and sort of talk about it a little further. Happy Thanksgiving, listeners. Hope you are finding all kinds of reasons for gratitude to the Lord as you prepare for our national holiday tomorrow and for sort of what this week marks for most of us, a chance to step back and be thankful. We will be coming off our staff Thanksgiving, Dusty, which is one of my favorite rhythms.
Super fun to celebrate what the Lord has done in our church and in our own lives.
We have a big staff team, and on Thanksgiving week, we have a big staff meal every year. It's like a potluck. Everybody brings something. Our rule is bring your A game. Bring your best.
Don't be signing up for things that you're bad at making.
Don't sign up for something you don't have confidence in. If you're not good at sweet potatoes, then don't sign up for that. Sign up for the green bean casserole, whatever you're good at. So our team really all pitches in, and it's a lot of fun to celebrate some of the things that God has done over the course of the year. So hope that you listeners are getting a chance to express gratitude in similar ways. Before we dive into the topic for this week, I actually want to circle back to some listener feedback from our gun control episode.
Yeah, I was wondering.
From our friend Sophia, who asked a really good question about, you know, gun regulation. And I think we called the title of the episode Common Sense Gun Regulation. And no one has taken me up yet on my offer.
I was wondering. I didn't get any emails yet. In fact, a guy on a Sunday, he stopped me and he said, I bet you've gotten a lot of emails about that episode.
Answer, no, we haven't. So I want to reissue my challenge. If you're out there and you can make a case for why everyone should be free to own an AR-15, reach out. I'd like to hear from you. My case on that podcast was zero human beings who are not soldiers need to own an assault rifle. We can have the right to bear arms without the right to bear any kind of arms imaginable, and that there should be some common sense regulations. Now, I've heard from a lot of people who like are very pro Second Amendment, and yet they realize I can't really make a good case for like why I need to own an assault weapon. But a few people reached out through email, and basically their claim, and it was I thought a fair point, was that the way the Second Amendment is written, what it actually envisions is a tyrannical government. And so it's less about the right to self-defense or the right to simply own a weapon. And it's more about the right to rebel against or resist the government. The actual text of the Second Amendment says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so you certainly see in the era of the American Revolution, it was in fact the right of various colonies to have militia that actually led us to independence in the first place. And so you can see why the founders wanted to protect and preserve that right. And so many listeners said, hey, look, the whole point of owning an assault rifle, sure, I might not need it to go hunting for deer or to, you know, carry for self-defense, but it's about the right of the American individual, the American citizen, to resist the overreach of a tyrannical government. I think that's interesting. And certainly you could say, sure, the Second Amendment has that in view. To go back, though, to the language of rights and responsibilities, as we talked about in that podcast, you may have the right to own that weapon. That is different from asking, what is the responsibility that the scriptures would entrust to us when it comes to that? And I just want to make the very common sense argument that when your government owns fighter jets and drones and ballistic missiles, your AR-15 is not going to do a whole lot for you to resist a tyrannical government. So, you know, if I think about the context of when the Second Amendment was written in the 1700s, when a ball and musket rifle was the main arm that anyone would bear, of course, sure, you want that, and so that you can resist the British soldiers marching down your street. But when the government can drop a ballistic missile down your chimney, I'm not sure what your ownership of an AR-15 is going to advance in your right to resist a tyrannical government. And so that point to me is a pretty thin point, but I appreciated a few listeners bringing that up as a possible reason why they feel like as a Christian, they would want the freedom to own whatever kind of weapon, you know, an assault rifle or whatnot. There were, of course, despite the fact that Chris Hemmelman said, don't tell us that it's a semi-automatic weapon, there were at least three YouTube commenters who felt it important to say that I had said it was an automatic weapon, and they wanted to point out it's a semi-automatic weapon. Thank you for listening so carefully to the podcast that you didn't hear Chris's rebuke on that point. But anyways, YouTube is going to be YouTube. So I don't think the YouTube commenters are actual Wednesday Conversation listeners. I think they're people who this ended up in their feed and they couldn't resist saying something. So thanks to those of you who reached out on that topic. What we want to talk about today is completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
This time of year, here's what I noticed, Dusty, is a lot of people are, one, there's a deeper sense of gratitude. We're trying to look back on the year and be thankful, and especially moving into Advent, that sense of sort of a warm and worshipful anticipation of Christmas. Also, we're quickly going to turn the corner into a new year, which is a time that people sort of think about, all right, looking back and looking forward, what did I accomplish this past year? What do I want to give myself to in the year to come? And for Christians especially, that's a time when we sort of take stock of our growth. Hey, how am I doing as a disciple of Jesus? How am I growing? Where do I feel satisfied with what God's done? And where do I feel like I'd still like to see more growth in mm-hmm. this area? And for a few years now, I credit your team with this, the Care and Counseling team, Dusty. Our Care and Counseling team has made me aware of the fact that, hey, Bob, within Coram Deo Church, and I don't think this is unique to our church, within Coram Deo, there's a lot of people who feel a strong achievement streak. They really want to do great.
Yeah.
And they kind of always feel like they're falling short in sanctification. And so they have a very hard time giving themselves grace. They have a very hard time seeing themselves as a work in progress and celebrating little steps along the way. They tend to just see what they're falling short of and tend to sort of see sanctification as some kind of destination or some kind of, when I get there, then I'll feel happy. But until I get there,
yeah,
I'm just kind of not in a great place. And so I preached recently a sermon out of the Sermon on the Mount, trying to help us embrace as a church that Christian maturity is a journey, not a destination. That was kind of the big idea of the mm-hmm. sermon. As you mentioned, it's kind of the title of this podcast. And we wanted to take some time to just work that out a little more fully in terms of its application, not only for listeners within our church, but for Christians in general. Why is it crucial? Why is it important that we embrace a progress view of sanctification, a one day at a time, slow growth in grace view, rather than a, I got to get to the finish line, and if I'm not there yet, or I got to clear the bar, and if I can't jump over it, man, then I'm failing.
Yeah. And the full sermon would be Matthew 7, 1 through 12. So we don't need to rehash that whole sermon, Bob, but give us just a quick synopsis about particularly how you were talking and preaching about how every time you read this text, there's something here that keeps hitting you.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Jonathan Pennington was with us, one of the world's foremost scholars on the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, he was pointing out, hey, this sermon is about discipleship. And Jesus is laying out for us a vision of what does it mean to follow him. And it's a vision that requires self-examination, right? The whole, if you think about those famous parts in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, you have heard it said, but I say to you, what he's inviting us to do is look inward and say, okay, if I feel confident that I'm not sinning because I'm not murdering my brother, Jesus is saying, yeah, but are you angry? So he's always encouraging us to do this inward work, this inward turn and looking at what's animating us. So the text that I preached on was in Matthew 7, and it's that section of judge not, lest you be judged. And then where Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, you know, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open to you. And then the golden rule, you know, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. And my point was just that these three exhortations, part of the reason that this part of the Sermon on the Mount is so sticky for us is the way I said it is, there's not a day of my life when I read these texts and feel like, oh, I'm crushing it on that. I haven't judged anybody today. Man, I've sought the Lord as fully as I ought to today. And man, everybody in my life, I'm doing exactly to them as I wish they would do to me. So I think the point of why Jesus is saying these things is is to hold up a mirror to us and to give us, in a very simple way, a set of things to assess ourselves by that are going to always remind us that we're still in progress, that we're on a journey, that there's no there's no arrival in these areas. We're always aware of places where we are still prone to judgment and criticism, where we're still failing to be as prayerful as we ought to be, and where we're still failing to love our neighbor as ourselves. And again, the way I described it in our preaching meeting, Dusty, is like, this is a little mini version of the law and gospel. You know, it's just like, hey, actually every command in the scriptures is meant to operate this way, where it both shows us the way of following Christ, but it also holds up a mirror and says, hey, here's where I'm falling short. Here's how I can see my sin using this command. But I think these three exhortations in particular in the Sermon on the Mount are just very, very foundational, endemic places where most of us can quickly identify, yes, I am falling short of that command. So maybe like my AR-15 comment, if there's a listener out there that you feel like, man, I practice the golden rule every day, I never fall short of that, then I want to invite you to email us. I'd love to have you on the podcast and figure out how we can follow your model of sanctification. But I think for the honest and faithful reader of scripture, we see these things and we immediately recognize, yep, I have room to grow there.
Yeah. And I think when you said that, when you preached that moment, there's a sense in the room that particular Sunday where it feels like, oh, okay, if I just became a Christian, even Bob, even my pastor who's preaching this text to me and I'm in a sense following him, he still doesn't seem to have it all together. And I think those are the most refreshing people to be around. Like whenever you interact with like a 75-year-old man who's like, well, man, I'm just trying to follow Jesus, instead of the 70-year-old man who's like, well, why don't you get your life together?
Yeah.
You know, one is judgmental and we always know when somebody's judging that. And one is very life-giving. Like, oh man, I want to be like him. And he's still humbly being convicted by things like Matthew 7.
Yes. So what I wanted to frame out for the listeners of this podcast, or kind of why we wanted to revisit this topic, is I think it is very crucial for gratitude. So thinking about Thanksgiving week, it's very crucial for gratitude. It's very crucial for hope. And it's very crucial for worship that we understand Jesus' vision for us in terms of a journey toward maturity, rather than as maturity being a binary, I either am or I'm not, I'm either there or I'm not there, I've either got it or I don't have it, I've either grown in this area or I haven't grown, and rather that this is a, to use the metaphor that Jesus is going to use later on in chapter 7, right, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I mean, the language of a gate and a way and a path, this is the classic metaphor Jesus uses to describe following him. And I think it's crucial for our own growth and grace that we embrace the fact that we're on a journey and that it's okay that we're not there yet. It's okay that we're going to fall short. It's okay that tomorrow I'm going to read, judge not lest you be judged. I'm going to realize, oh, I'm doing that again. And that what I'm supposed to embrace in that moment is, okay, Lord, show me who I'm judging and how I'm doing it. Help me repent and trust you. Move me to a deeper virtue and generosity in this place. And that's the journey. The journey is the journey of repentance and faith and growth and, you know, continual pursuit of maturity in this area, rather than having sort of a binary on-off, you know, I'm either in or I'm out, I'm either there or I'm not there kind of approach.
I was talking to a pastor recently in a different city, and we're working through some things in his own soul and life. And towards the end of almost every conversation, he's like, but, you know, like in a sense, he's like, yeah, but like, how do I fix this? How do I get over this? How do I, you know, what's the solution? And my answer is always, well, man, You're on the journey,
right?
You know, like, we're clunking along, here we go. And I've chatted with him a few times, and then he sent me a random text, because I've given him a couple of assignments that have to do with going and talking to other people about the things that we talk about. And he texted me and said, Man, I'm really glad that you made me go have these conversations, because I'm realizing some patterns in my life. And my point is, he is like me. We're looking for this silver bullet, like, let's fix this thing now and get me over this moment. And the reality is, we're all just clunking along. We're all just journeying along.
The story I told in the sermon was that our church planning resident, Jacob Tavis, asked me recently, "Hey, Bob, what's the Lord working on in your life?" And I said, you know, well, if I'm just using the fruit of the Spirit as a basic baseline, patience and gentleness are two places where the Spirit's working on me. And as soon as I said that, I was immediately discouraged, because I was like, and that was also true a decade ago. And that was also true 2 decades ago. And so my point in saying all that was just to say, man, there's places in my life where sanctification seems pretty slow, and where I feel like, man, I thought I was making progress there, and then I was super impatient, or I really lacked gentleness. And it sort of just exposes, like, oh, I've not grown there as much as I would like. And I wonder, Dusty, why I experience that sometimes as discouraging. And I imagine that's why people like the person you're talking about are asking, like, man, how can I just, like, give me the silver bullet? What's the answer? Why do you think we experience that as so discouraging when we face a place of sanctification where it just feels like, man, I thought I was growing there, but here's another instance where I recognize that I'm falling short. Why does that tend to be discouraging?
Well, I don't think we like, well, we're American, first of all, so we don't like anything slow, you know?
That's good.
And I think the older we get, the slower we change.
And that's interesting.
And I think, you know, like, I think you can say to a 19-year-old or a 25-year-old, hey, do these things and this particular sin will be rooted out of your life. That's been true of you and me in different categories and different stages of life. But I think there's also some just deep-seated realities to our sin and to our souls that these things just keep, they're just going to flare up. And so I think we get discouraged by that, because we've seen this over here be either conquered, or at least it seems easier for Christ's blood to cover that. And I can almost see victory over here. And then, you know, like to your example, like, well, gentleness and patience just keeps on popping up, you know? And I think we get discouraged by that. But the reality is we have actually grown. Like, I've known you a long time.
Yeah.
And sure, the gentleness and patience, when you preached that, I wasn't like, oh man, I'm so surprised.
never expected that.
Because of our friendship and relationship for so long, I'm aware of that, right? But you have grown in gentleness and patience. It just flares up in these other areas now.
Yeah.
And so we're discouraged because we don't like the journey. We don't like the lack of efficiency.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think what's helpful is, you know, not just the Matthew 7 passage, but Ephesians 4, where Paul is talking to the Ephesian church, and in verse 11, you know, he says, hey, he gave some to be the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. And so Paul is fine. Paul's okay with it.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, you're going to keep growing up into these things.
Yeah.
But we like efficiency. We like getting stuff done.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that you use the category of sin. There are certain sins in our lives that we want to and need to overcome. But I also think in terms of, like, just growth in virtue, the growth in, you know, positive character traits. Like, so when I think about the fruit of the Spirit, right, these are all positive virtues, that part of the journey is not just I want to repent of sins that trip me up, but also I want to grow in positive graces and virtues that are Christ-like. And when I feel like that growth is slow, so I think it can be discouraging for people when they feel like, man, this one same sin keeps tripping me up. But I think it also can be discouraging for people when they feel like, man, I just, like, want to grow in this virtue. And it just seems like I just,
yeah,
that growth is so slow, or that area of that, that just seems like it's taking so long to overcome these aspects of my story or these aspects of my personality, or to be transformed in grace in ways that this really becomes true of my character. I think that that category is a more challenging category, because I think at least sin has a certain kind of moral objectivity to it. It's like, all right, that's wrong. I need to be done with that. I need to turn from that. I need to repent of that. I want to keep working on that. But virtue seems like, man, it's there's this almost infinite journey of growth there, right? Of like, yeah, hopefully I'm a little bit gentle, but I can always be more gentle. Hopefully I'm a little bit kind, but I can always be more kind. Hopefully I have a little bit of love, but I can always grow in love. So it, I think it feels almost like this, man, am I ever going to get there? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, even to the title of this podcast and then that comment you made, Christian maturity is a journey, not just a destination. There is the destination.
Yeah. Right? Like I said that in the 11 a.m. service, yeah. Just not the 9 a.m.
There will be this full, complete moment of virtue. And until then.
When I use a big idea like that, it's this, not that. I teased Aaron Maddox about this a few weeks ago because I was like, Aaron and I both always feel the need to qualify statements like that. Of like, well, I mean, it's not that. I'm just saying that in this case, I want you to see this other aspect of it. So I had to clarify in my sermon, there is this new heavens, new earth reality, what the Bible calls glorification, right? When we see him as he is and we become fully like him, that is the destination. That's not going to be reached until the consummation, until the new heavens and new earth. And so every growth along the journey of the life we're living is moving in that direction, or sort of a step toward that. So to say that it's a journey, not a destination, is not to say there is no destination. It's a way of saying you're not going to reach the destination in this life. So don't live for that. Don't be idealistic in your vision of what growth looks like, because many of us tend to be idealists anyway. And like you said, we're all Americans and we want things to be fixed now. And if my car can't get fixed by tomorrow, I'm frustrated. And if I can't get my prescription by an hour from now, I'm frustrated. And if Amazon won't deliver my books by tomorrow, you know, it's just like everything is so immediate that we have a sense that idealism and that sort of American concern for efficiency does hinder us, I think, from being able to embrace just like the slow, patient journey of change over time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I journal a couple times a week, and really, you know, what my journal is it's half airing it out and half prayer. And if I go back and look at those, which I do once a year, on a day of solitude, typically, it's kind of discouraging because I'm praying and repenting of the same stuff, you know, or I'm anxious about the same stuff. And so one of those things for me, you know, just to make this podcast my little confessional booth for a moment. I've always been anxious or fearful about having enough. You know, will I have enough here at this stage of life? Will I have enough here? When I look back on early days of ministry, like, will I have enough to buy this house in California? The answer was no, praise the Lord. I didn't. And, you know, like, but there's this theme in my prayers of, will the Lord come through?
Yeah.
Which is also like, man, I've been praying the same kind of dumb stuff, you know, my whole life. But the reality is the Lord has come through and he has proven himself faithful. And so sure, am I still going to be prone to the same type of worry? Now at 45, I'm like, yeah, probably, you know, but embracing that, but also asking the Lord to remind me of how he has provided is hopefully growth out of the fear and anxiety, even while knowing I'm probably still going to kind of be mildly concerned all the time about it. You know,
I have a really hard time embracing the same progress mindset for people that I really care about or people that I'm trying to develop, because I'm like that. I think God has wired me like a coach, where it's like, I see the potential that a player has. I see like this guy or this person has, you know, man, really strong potential. And I want to draw that potential out of them. And so I tend to always sort of be like trying to call them to more. And that sometimes biases me against being able to look back and see, oh, look how far they've come. Like man, when they were a freshman, yeah, they were only benching this much, and now they're a lot stronger. You know, it's like,
yeah,
they're still not in the starting lineup yet, but man, they're getting a lot faster, a lot stronger, to use an athletic metaphor. And so I think for me, this is a particular discipline, not just for myself, but being able to look back in someone's story and say, like, hey, you've come a long way. In fact, that was part of what I said in the sermon, was like, hey, like, take a moment this week to think of someone in this room who you've seen grow in these areas, and just say that to them, because we kind of need to hear it from one another.
Yes.
Because we're prone to be self-critical and prone to sort of see our own flaws strongly. Mm-hmm. And so it helps sometimes for someone to say, hey, I've seen you grow in this area. Keep trusting the Lord, or keep on this journey of change, you know? Yeah. And I need that. So I'm thinking about, at this time of year, as I think about Thanksgiving, I need to do a better job helping the people around me be thankful and looking back and saying, hey, here's what God's done this year in you or around you, or here's how I see you growing. And I want to commend that in you.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I think that literally changes us, you know, like when you receive that, you have to receive it, and we don't like that. So we're like, well, yeah, but.
Yeah, but.
I still got a long ways to go. Thanks, but you know, I'm my own worst critic, so we could always be getting better. And so that's a moment of deflection. But actually, it's maturity also on the Christian journey to receive that and be encouraged by that. So that literally changes us on the journey.
Yeah. The other text scripturally that David Sunman in our liturgy on the Sunday that I preached used as the benediction is Philippians 1:6. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I like two things about that verse. One, it's a celebration that God's not done with you and me. Like, the grace of God is going to continue to work. The Holy Spirit of God is going to continue to bring to completion the work that he's begun in me. And I also like that statement, we'll bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Like, that's when it's actually going to get back to what's the destination. It's like, at the day of Jesus Christ, that's when it's going to be complete. Until then, you're going to be on the journey. Until then, you are a work in progress. And so if you're living for the day that a year from now, or 10 years from now, or 50 years from now, that you're finally over this struggle, or through this, you know, piece of suffering, or fully formed in this virtue, you're living for the wrong thing. You're not going to get there. What we are to be living for and enjoying is the journey of growing in Christian maturity. And that happens one day at a time by the grace of God, through repentance and faith and the hope of the gospel, and, you know, trusting in Jesus and putting one foot in front of the other. And so to go back to that path metaphor that Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount, this is the journey that we are to be on with one another. And I want Christians just to embrace that vision, that the vision is, man, we get to get up today and take another step on the journey of sanctification. Maybe there will be a great leap forward this week or this year. Cool. Maybe it will just be like one foot in front of the other, trying to do the slow work of growth. I do think there are moments of like dramatic growth. There's seasons in life where it feels like a lot of things change in a short time, but those tend to be a little bit few and far between. And the sort of, part of what I want to say in this is just to say that I think you mentioned being American as a problem here. I also think there's this sort of, I don't know what to call it, this over-spiritualization of like, if the Spirit of God's really at work in your life, it'll be like revival all the time. It'll be like, man, you change fast. And I do think that Spirit of God does that at seasons of life. But actually the norm is kind of along obedience in the same direction, to use Eugene Peterson's language. Mm-hmm. So the norm is not like revival every day. The norm is maybe little bursts and little seasons of really profound revival or change, interspersed by long periods of just like simple growth and grace over time. And if we can embrace that as the norm, I think it helps us so much as Christians just to say, okay, cool, I'm on the journey. Like, let's keep moving forward.
And I also think part of maturity is becoming more and more aware, right, of who I am and where my proclivities are, where my tendencies are to drift. And I think that's actually maturing in Christ, is to have, okay, these things are kind of always on the front burner for me. And those are going to be different things from you, right? I was traveling, just a quick story. I was traveling with some pastors and some guys, and we were in an airport. I think I told you this story, Bob. And we were in an airport, and we were all breaking up kind of in the Denver airport to go to these different flights. And one of the guys said, he goes, "Hey, man, pray for me. I got 3 hours in here, and airports are hard for me with a wandering eye." And I thought, and we all kind of like chuckled in that moment of kind of like, "Whoa, dude, did you just say that?" You know? And then I thought, how mature, you know, to say like, "Hey, here's my weakness. Airports have always been hard. Here's my tendency. And so I'm about to do battle. If I'm not going to be with you guys right now, I'm about to go into battle. And that's my tendency." You know, I think that is, you could look at it and be like, "Well, that guy needs to, you know, strengthen up." I look at that and go like, that's an aware man who needs prayer, dependency, and that's mature.
Yeah.
That's a dude that I, you know, I'd hook my wagon to. He knows who he is and he knows who he isn't. So I think maturity is identifying those things, bringing people into that mix and saying, "Hey, here's where I'm at." And there has to be a few people that know those tendencies.
There also, let me take it even a step further, Dusty. And I'm interested in your thoughts here. I think that what grace gives us, and I learned this from Jack Miller and from Scotty Smith and from older mentors like that. I think part of what grace gives us in a healthy way, not a dysfunctional way, is the ability to kind of chuckle at our places where we continue to need growth. Like, it's a self-awareness that has a big enough grasp of the gospel. You can go, "Yep, that happened, you know, or I fell short of that virtue, or man, I still need growth in that area." Not in a way that's flippant or, you know, dismissive, but in a way that just goes, "Man, the Lord knows me and he's still growing me in this area of gentleness or this area of patience or this, you know, he's still working on this thing." And so that when you find yourself falling short, or when you go back to the Sermon on the Mount and read "Judge Not" and you go, "Oh, I did that again," that you can sort of like laugh at yourself and go, "Well, yeah, that's not surprising." Instead of feeling defensive of like, "Oh man, no, Dusty, I've gotten a lot. Trust me, I've got," like sometimes people feel that they need to justify, "But I've grown a lot. I'm better than I used to be."
Yeah.
And that ability just to sort of like peacefully say, "Yep, not surprised. I have room to grow there."
Yeah.
That's a place where the Lord's continuing to work on me, and in a way that embraces that journey of growth rather than sort of being paralyzed by
that's right.
how much further I have yet to go.
Yeah.
So listeners, as you celebrate Thanksgiving this week, I want to encourage you to look back on the last few years of your journey with Christ. Maybe some of you haven't even been Christians that long. I know there's some listeners to this podcast who are brand new Christians. Look back and celebrate what you have seen the Lord do. Give thanks for his grace in your journey and encourage someone else with the grace you have seen in their journey. Speak words of encouragement to them about how you see the Lord transforming them into his image, how you see that the God who began a good work in them is being faithful to complete it. Let's be people who don't always see ourselves as falling short of the ideal, but people who can embrace the slow, everyday, ordinary journey of normal Christian sanctification.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thank you for listening in. We pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.